أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الإمام الباقر عليه الصلاة والسلام:
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الكمال ثلاثة من مكارم الدنيا والآخرة: أن تعفو عمن ظلمك، وتصل ممن قطعك، وتحلم إذا جهل عليك. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We are commemorating the shahadat of our fifth Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salatu wa salam.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
And the shahadat is actually on the 7th of Dhul-Hijjah, 114th of Hijra, and Imam, our fifth Imam, was poisoned by Ibrahim ibn Walid ibn Abdul Malik ibn Marwan rahmatullahi alayhim. And the entire age of the Imam is 57 years. 34 years of his life he spent alongside with his father, Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam, and 19 years of his remainder life is the duration of his own imamat and leadership. And Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam is one of those ma'sumeen who was present at the occasion of Karbala. So he is the live witness of everything, although all the imams are equally live witness of not just the incident in Karbala but all the incidents of the entire universe. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. So nothing can miss out from the ilm of any Imam, otherwise he cannot be the Imam. So Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam was 3 years of age when the incident of Karbala took place. The laqab, the famous laqab of the Imam, the kunyat of the Imam is Abu Ja'far. Abu Ja'far al-Awwal, that means Usually Al-Awwal is not written in the books of Rijal or Hadith or Tariq. When you find, they don't write Al-Awwal usually, and they write Al-Thani, Abu Ja'far Al-Thani with Imam Al-Taqi alayhi salam. But Abu Ja'far without the sifat, without the adjective of Al-Awwal, it automatically means Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam. So Abu Ja'far is his kunyat, and his laqab is Al-Baqir or Baqiru Ilmin Nabiyyin. And the laqab of Baqir is given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam himself. And I'll come to that point of the meaning of that, but before I discuss that, our fifth Imam has some specific attributes, just like every Imam has some sifatun muhtassa or fada'ilun muhtassa, some specific fada'il and attributes. And first of those fada'il, first of all, those specific sifat and attributes is that he is the only ma'soom among the 14 ma'soomeen alayhim as-salam, whose lineage reaches from both the sides towards Imam Ali alayhi salam and Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha. Because his father is Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, so from his paternal side his lineage and nasl reaches to Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam, and from his maternal side his mother is Fatima bint al-Hasan salamullahi alayha wa alayhi. So she is the daughter of Imam Hasan alayhi salam, and she is his lineage reaches to Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein from paternal and maternal sides, and this is one of his specific attributes. And his mother, Hazrat Fatima bint al-Hassan, is considered to be one of the greatest ladies and of all times. And also in the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, it is there that talking about her, he said that she was a siddiqa, and the Imam alayhi salam said that in the children in the lineage of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, a person similar to her is not witnessed. That means in the entire nasl of Imam Hassan you can't find anybody similar in greatness to Hazrat Fatima bint al-Hassan. So you can understand the greatness of this lady according to the hadith. And she had some of those karamat. There's the difference between karamat and mu'jiza. It should be also understood, karamat and mu'jiza theoretically is the same thing. There's no difference in the essence. So in the essence it's one and the same thing, so it is kharqul aada. That means it's something which is outrageous and beyond the regular reach of the humans. Beyond the regular reach of humans. So aadatan, usually, as per the regular habits and regular authorities that we enjoy in our life, no human being can perform such an act. So, mu'jiza is never against the aql. It's not kharikan lil aql. It's always kharikan lil aada. There's a difference between doing something which is against the logic. Mu'jiza is never against the logic. So let's be very clear. Mu'jiza is not kharikun lil aql. It's not against the rules of logic. It's against the rules of human reach. It is beyond the reach of the humans to be able to do that in their ordinary situations. So So in essence, what I was saying is that in essence, mu'jiza and karamat is one and the same thing. Both are kharfun lil'ada. Both are against the regular reach of the human. But the difference is that in a mu'jiza, which is always expressed and performed by a prophet or his wasi, that means an imam. So a mu'jiza is only performed by a nabi or the wasi of the nabi, and it always accompanies an idda'a, a claim. So there has to be a claim accompanying the mu'jiza, whereas a karamat is similar to mu'jiza without a claim. So a prophet claims to be a prophet, a rasul claims to be a rasul, a wasi or imam claims to be an imam. So this claim accompanies, whenever there is a claim accompanying with that, this is categorized in Ilmul Kalam as a mu'jiza. If there is no claim accompanying with that, it is categorized to be a karamat. In essence, it's both the same thing. So this is the difference. Now, she was Ahlul Karamat. He was Ahlul Karama. She had this kind of activity when somebody performs. It's impossible for a person to perform unless you have walayatun takwiniyah, that means authority in the creatures. You have the right to do things and exercise your power, exercise your qudrat and strength over the creatures. So the creatures respond to your power. So you overpower the creatures. So you have a walayat and authority and supremacy over the creatures around you. So the creatures are musakhar, under your command. That's called walayatun takwiniyah. So you can perform things in the existences around us because of the authority that you enjoy. And that walayat is because of the level of taharat and cleanliness of the qalb that you have. So she was one of those ladies who had walayatun takwiniyah. And Imam Sadiq al-Islam says that she was sitting, in other words, next to a wall, and the wall, in those days, you know, the walls used to be mud, made of mud and clay and stones, you know. But this is not part of hadith, and I'm explaining to you. So, and it was very frequent that the walls and things used to fell down, you know. So Imam Sadiq al-Islam was telling in the hadith that he was, in other words, sitting next to a wall, and the wall started to fall down, and she said that don't fall bihaqq al-Mustafa, for the sake of Prophet Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, because Allah did not give permission to you. And the wall was about to fall down and it stopped, and she walked out, she walked away, and later on the wall fell down. So this kind of behavior, when it is found in an authentic hadith about somebody, it's an alamat of her level of tahara. So this is about the mother of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. And this is one of his great specific sifat, having this kind of lineage. Another thing is that he's the muassis and the founder of the cultural revolution in Islam and of the Shia religion, because he was the one who started the widespread tabligh and nashr of the religion and propagation of the religion ever in the history after the times when the Khilafat was taken away from Ahlul Bayt. So his time was the beginning of that revolution, because there were five different rulers of Banu Umayyah, and then Banu Abbas changing hands. Government was being very destabilized. So Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam took the best opportunity to propagate Islam in those days, starting from Walid ibn Abdul Malik and Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, and Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was the third, who was a little bit, you know, slightly better towards Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. He was the one who stopped the la'nat on Imam Ali alayhi salam. He was the one who stopped the cursing on Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, which was openly done up till that time, started by Muawiyah. And then it was Yazid ibn Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, and finally Hisham ibn Abdul Malik. So now coming to the point about the name Lisan al-Arab, which is the biggest dictionary of Arabic language, 21 volumes. If you open up the word al-Baqir, Baqara, which is the root word in Arabic, Baqara, it says لُقِّبَ بِهِ لِأَنَّهُ بَقَرَ الْعِلْمِ. Imam alayhi salam was given the title of al-Baqir because he expanded the knowledge, وَعَرِفَ أَصْلَهُ, and he recognized the root of the knowledge, وَاسْتَنْبَطَ فَرْعَهُ, and he extracted the branches of the knowledge, وَتَوَسَّعَ فِيهِ, and made expansions in the knowledge, وَالتَّبَقُّر التَّوَسُّع, and تَبَقُّر in Arabic means expanding something. That's what Lisan al-Arab, the biggest dictionary of Arabic language, explains the word. So, and we find all the great, so every Imam did the greatest services, but Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam was the one who started to propagate the religion in with all its details. And you look at that reality when you find out the extent of knowledge that was disseminated by this Imam in such a short period of his life. How much knowledge he imparted to the people. It's really surprising, you know, how he managed to do all that. You know, probably hundreds of thousands of narrations. Can you imagine hundreds of thousands of narrations? One student narrating 80,000 hadiths. One student narrating 30,000. You know, Muhammad ibn Muslim says, I narrated 30,000 hadiths. Muhammad ibn Muslim is one of the fuqaha, he's one of the mushahideen, one of the greatest students of Imam Baqir and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He's considered one of the greatest few. So Muhammad ibn Muslim says, I narrated 30,000 hadiths from Imam Baqir alayhi salam, and I think all those 30,000 are asrar of Ahlul Bayt, secrets of Ahlul Bayt which I'm not supposed to tell anybody. So you can find one person narrating 30,000. How much is the total number of knowledge that was given by the Imam to people and transferred to the generations? It's unimaginable. And he also is specified with this attribute and sifat that he is the only person for whom the Holy Prophet sent his salam through Jabir. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari was the Sahabi and companion of the Prophet who survived till the time of Imam al-Baqir al-Islam, and Prophet said to him, you know, that Ya Jabir yushak and tabqa hatta talqa waladan min al-Husayn yuqalu lahu Muhammad. Prophet said to Jabir that it's close that you will be surviving up till the time you meet a son of Hussein who will be called Muhammad. يَبْقَرَ عِلْمَ النَّبِيِّينَ بَقْرًا. He will be expanding the knowledge of the prophets the way it's supposed to be expanded. فَإِذَا لَقِيتَهُ فَقْرَأْهُ مِنَّ السَّلَامِ. When you meet him, then say my salam to him. So this is what the Prophet said to Jabir. And in the final days when Jabir was ill, Imam al-Baqir al-Islam came to meet him, and that's where he conveyed the salam of Rasulullah to him. And Prophet Imam al-Baqir al-Islam said to him, do your wasiyat, because in a matter of few days you will be dying. And Jabir said, how come you know? And Imam al-Baqir al-Islam replied that I swear to Allah that Allah has given me the knowledge of the past and the future, up to the day of judgment. So basically, Jabir realized the greatness of the knowledge of Imam alayhi salam, and he basically kissed the forehead of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. And Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, you find a huge number of historians and muhaddithin from various schools of thoughts, various sects of Islam, have been narrating from him. A lot of people have been narrating from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam as well, but some of the famous narrators didn't narrate from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, which is very unfortunate in the history, like Imam al-Bukhari. Imam al-Bukhari is a famous muhaddith of the Sunni brothers, having written this Sahih al-Bukhari. But we find, unfortunately, this person has not narrated a single riwayat from Imam Salih alayhi salam. So, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam had been the source for narrations from huge list of Sunni and Shia historians and scholars of ilm al-hadith. Shows us the huge huge amount of reception how he had been considered to be the source of knowledge by all those people. And apart from that, some of the greatest ashab of the Shia religion have been seen in his time. Some of the greatest personalities, all time greatest personalities of the Shia religion, are seen in the time of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, which were of course his students. That means he's the one who raised them. He's the one who did the tarbiyat of some of the greatest Shias of the history. So the examples are Zurara ibn A'yan and Suma'a ibn A'yan, 11 people of his family. We call them Alul A'yan, and Abu Basir, Fudail ibn Yasar, Muhammad ibn Muslim, Al-Kharbuz, and Buraid al-Ijli, who is considered to be, Buraid al-Ijli, and also Jabir al-Ju'fi. And I already mentioned Muhammad ibn Muslim. So these people are some of those who we have, for some of these people we have great ahadith from Ahlul Bayt themselves, talking about the greatness of theirs. Also we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Rijal al-Kashi is one of the mother books of Ilm al-Rijal in our in Islam, and in Rijal al-Kashi it has been mentioned that the religion, that the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt, knowledge of the Imams, is considered to be reaching into the hands of four people. And Rijal al-Kashi says that the knowledge of A'imma alayhimu salam is supposed to have reached into the hands of four personalities in the history. The first is Salman al-Farisi, the second is Jabir al-Ju'fi, the third is Sayyid al-Himyari, and the fourth one is the Yunus ibn Abdul Rahman. So you find that Jabir al-Ju'fi and these are the this person is the student of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that innama summiya jabiran li'annahu jabara al-mu'minin bi'ilmihi wa huwa bahrun la yunzah. He is called as Jabir because he's the one, he compensates with his knowledge. That means everything, in other words, that the mu'mineen are missing out, He is the one that provides to them. Whatever they don't have, He provides to them. And huwa bahrun la yunzah, and He is like an ocean that loses nothing. You know, if you go next to a Pacific Ocean and you take out one bucket of water, are you losing? Is the Pacific Ocean losing something? No. Ocean is such a huge expanse that if you take out a little bit from that, it's not going to make any difference in the ocean. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam talks about the knowledge of Jabir al-Ju'fi, that he is a huwa bahrun la yunzah. He is an ocean which never ends. That means nothing can be decreased from it. It's an ocean impossible to be decreased. وَهُوَ الْبَابُ, and He is the gateway. So if you want to learn, you have to come to Him. And also He says, وَهُوَ الْبَابُ فِي دَهْرِهِ, He is the gateway in His time. وَالْحُجَّةُ عَلَى الْخَلْقِ, and He is the hujjat upon the creatures. Min hujjatullah Abi Ja'far Muhammad ibn Ali alayhi salam, from on behalf of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. So Jabir al-Ju'fi himself is the hujjat of Allah. So you can find one student of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam ends up becoming so high in his greatness that we can't understand his greatness. He says, Jabir himself says, that I was with Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. We were traveling till we reached Karbala. So we went for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam with the Imam. And and Imam said, you know, that هَذِهِ رَوْضَةٌ مِنْ رِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ لَنَا وَلَشِيَعَتِنَا. This is one of the gardens among the gardens of paradise for us and our followers. And then وَحُفْرَةٌ مِّنْ حُفْرِ جَهَنَّمْ لِأَعْدَائِنَا, and a ditch among the ditches of hellfire for our enemies. So, and then he moved forward to that desired spot, desired place where he was intending to go, where he wanted to go. And Jabir says, finally when we reached that place, Imam alayhi salam said to me, O Jabir, do you want to eat something? O Jabir, I said, Labbaik Sayyidi. So he said, do you want to eat something? I said, yes. So Imam put his Mubarak hand into stones, and he brought out an apple from the stones, and Imam alayhi salam gave it to him. So Jabir says, I ate that apple, and it was such a, you know, an apple that, such a nice smelling apple that I never, it was not similar to anything in this world, not similar to, fruits of this world. And I realized that this is from paradise. So when I ate that apple, he said, with the barakat of that apple, for 4 days I didn't have any hunger at all. So I didn't need to eat food for the next 4 days. I didn't need to even go to the washroom for the next 4 days. You know, well, that's the sifat of the food of the paradise, you know, because people in the Jannat, when they will be there and eating food and drinking the drinks of the paradise, they will have no waste. That's the sifat of the food of the paradise. So Jabir is one of those companions who have been offered the fruit of paradise right in this world because he belongs to the paradise. So that's why he deserves to get that fruit. So the hadith says that Nahnu, hadith from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says that Nahnu jambullah wa Nahnu hablullah. So we are the jamb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jamb, literally speaking, means the side of the body of a person, the side of a person. And we are the rope of Allah. And we are the wa nahnu rahmatullah ala khalqihi. And we are the mercy of Allah upon his people. So when Imam al-Baqir says that we are the mercy of Allah, so whoever have them is the one who has the mercy. And whoever doesn't have them has no mercy. Isn't that right? We are the nahnu rahmatullah. We are the rahmat of Allah on his creatures. And then he says that bina yaftahu Allah wa bina yakhtim. Allah will start with us and will end with us. So everything started with Ahlul Bayt and everything will stand with them. That's what we learn, you know. And wa nahnu a'immatul huda wa masabiqut tuja, and we are the imams of guidance and the torches of darkness. Wa nahnu al-ilm nahnu al-alam ahli dunya, and we are the flag for the people of dunya. And wa nahnu sabiqoon, and we are the ones who are the sabiqoon, those who have taken the lead. Wa nahnu al-akhirun, those who have taken the lead, and we are the ones who are the final ones. So basically nothing, and no one is after them. They are the last ones. وَنَحْنُ الْآخِرُونَ And مَنْ تَمَسَّكَ I can't read this text because I think there's some, but it's okay, I can move forward. وَنَحْنُ الطَّرِيقَ وَنَحْنُ قَادَةُ الْمُحَجَّلِينَ, and we are the leaders of those who are called Muhajjaleen. Muhajjaleen, literally speaking, are those people who are the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, when they will be there on the Day of Judgment, nur and light will be emitting from their existence. These people who are the followers of Ahlul Bayt will be emitting light, and they are called Al-Muhajjaleen. So نحن قادة المحجلين, we are the leaders of محجلين, and نحن حرم الله, and we are the holy, the sacred domain of Allah. حرم of Allah, and we are the path. نحن الطريق والصراط المستقيم, that means we are the straight path. صراط المستقيم is nothing but the أهل البيت عليهم السلام. The same Sirat al-Mustaqim that we talk about in Surah al-Fatiha. So, إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, and وَنَحْنُ مِنْ نِعْمِ اللَّهِ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ, and we are among the blessings of Allah on His creatures. وَنَحْنُ الْمِنْحَاجِ, and we are the path. وَنَحْنُ مَعْدِنُ النُّبُوَّةِ, and we are the mineral of prophethood. And مَوْضِعُ الرَّسَالَةِ, وَنَحْنُ مَوْضِعُ الرَّسَالَةِ, and we are the place of the messengership. وَنَحْنُ أُصُولُ الدِّينِ, وَإِلَيْنَا يَخْتَلِفُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, so we are the roots of the religion. That means Tawheed is because of us, Sifat of Allah is because of us. Anybody who believes in Tawheed, anybody who believes in the Sifat of Allah is because of Ahlul Bayt. Anybody who believes in the Quwwat is because of them. Anybody who believes on the Day of Judgment is because of them. So they are actually the essence of the entire Usuluddin of Islam. So Usuluddin survives because of them. The belief in Islamic belief system is because of the Ahlul Bayt. وَإِلَيْنَا يَخْتَلِقُ الْمَلَائِكَ, and all the angels of Allah come to us. So basically they are the centerpiece of arrival of the angels. وَنَحْنُ السِّرَاجِ لِمَنِ اسْتَضَاءَ بِنَا, and we are the lamp for the one who wanted to get illuminated. Anybody who wants to get nur, he has to come to us. So we are the lamp. وَنَحْنُ عُرْوَةُ الْإِسْلَامِ, and we are the rope of Islam. وَنَحْنُ الْجُسُورِ وَنَحْنُ الْقُنَاطِرِ, and we are the bridges. مَنْ مَضَى عَلَيْنَا أَسْبَقَ, whoever walks, in other words, on our footsteps, he's the one who took the lead. وَمَنْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنَّا مَحِقَ. Whoever turns away from us gets erased. It's gone. وَبِنَا يَصْرِفُ اللَّهُ عَنْكُمُ الْعَذَابِ. And it's because of us that Allah is removing the azab from you people. So azab is removed from us because of the Ahlul Bayt. مَنْ أَبْصَرَ بِنَا وَعَرِفَنَا وَعَرِفَ حَقَّنَا وَأَخَذَ بِأَمْرِنَا فَهُوَ مِنَّا. Then he says, whoever has the basirat and insight about us, whoever sees us and has the ma'rifat of ours and has the ma'rifat of our haqq, ihtimalan this is the haqq al-walaya of Ahlul Bayt. وَأَخَذَ بِأَمْرِنَا. And the person who takes and the one who takes our commands, that means whoever obeys our commands, فَهُوَ مِنَّا, he is one of us. So nothing, no qurb and closeness can be achieved towards the Ahlul Bayt except by obeying them. And those of the Ashab who actually got close is because of the fact they were obedient. So we find, even though they may be lacking some things in this dunya, in the life of this dunya, but that's not a big deal if we realize, just like Abu Basir. Abu Basir is the Sahabi of Imam Baqir alayhi salam, and also Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And Imam Baqir alayhi salam did a miracle. Abu Basir was blind, and he asked Imam Baqir alayhi salam to bring his eyes back for him. Imam alayhi salam did a miracle. He regained the eyesight. But then Imam alayhi salam said to him that in other words, that do you want the hisab and the mashakkat of akhirat? You want to face the hisab, the accountability, and mashakkat, that means all the hardship of akhirat, or you want to go into an akhirat, in other words, you want to go in the day of judgment without any hisab and accountability, that means you're going to go straight to the paradise without any hisab. So choice is yours. If you want to stay like this, you're going to go through hisab and shakkat, or if I return you back as a blind person, then you're going to go without hisab. That means the choice is yours, in other words. So he said, no, Ibn Rasulullah, he said, I want to become blind again so that I can go to the paradise without the hisab. That's okay for me. So Imam again converted him back to the way he was. And that's precisely a reality. Being blind in this world is not a big deal, because we are not missing anything significant anyway, the qurb with Ahlul Bayt and the qurb with Rasulullah and the qurb with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depends on your taqwa and ruhaniyat and nuraniyat of the qalb. It doesn't depend on you having the eyesight. There are a whole bunch of people who used to see Rasulullah, but they were still belong to Ahlul Nar. Isn't that right? So it's really not that significant for anybody to feel proud over the fact that, I have an eyesight intact without the ma'rifat and the qalb. So eyesight is a ni'mat of Allah if we have the ma'rifat. Without the ma'rifat in the qalb and without the taharat in the qalb, it is useless. So we find that when Imam alayhi salam, it is narrated in the history that as he went next to the Kaaba, he started to cry with a loud voice. And Imam alayhi salam in his munajat had said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Amartani falam a'tamir wa nahaytani falam anzajir. That means to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you commanded me but I didn't obey your command, and you stopped me but I didn't stop. That means things that Allah wants us to do and we still don't do it because we don't want to do that. Things that Allah doesn't want us to do but we still end up doing those kinds of, you know, things or sins. Of course, Imam is not doing any of those things. This is the way, you know, our scholars say that du'as of Ahlul Bayt are ta'nimi. That means they are teaching us the adab and etiquettes, how to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how we learn. Otherwise, we had no way to learn if they haven't taught us. They have no sense. But look at how they are showing their tawadhu and modesty towards Allah. And then he said, فَهَا أَنَا ذَا عَبْدُكَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْكَ وَلَا أَعْتَذِرْ. Here I am in front of you and I don't furnish an excuse. This is very important when we talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we don't furnish excuses for our sin. When we furnish an excuse for the sin, that means we are trying to justify it. Isn't that right? Whereas a sin is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He obliges us with a taklif, it is not taklifu ma la yutaq. There is no taklifu ma la yutaq in Islam. There is nothing which is beyond our reach. We can't do it. We could have done it. That's why it was doable for us. That's why He obliged. There is nothing which was undoable that is obliged in the Sharia. So when everything that He obliged was doable, basically, we are not left with any excuse in the real sense if we think. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says that my father was kaseeru zikr. He used to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. So we used to walk with him and he is doing zikr of Allah. We are eating food with him. He is doing the zikr of Allah. And he used to say la ilaha illallah. And he used to gather all of us, used to gather us and ask us to do the zikr till the tulu of shams, till the sunrise. And it is very much important in Islamic teachings that we try our best, if possible, not to sleep between baynat tulu'ayn, between the tulu' al-fajr al-sadiq and tulu' al-shams, the true dawn and the sunrise, the two tulus. It's better not to sleep between that time. That's one of the sa'at of which is very specific and very special time, and this is the sa'at of the ibadat and zikr of Allah. So look at this hadith that I wanted to inform you that Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam has said, which I'm paraphrasing the long hadith in my own words. There's an angel of Allah whose neck is, this angel is here on earth, but his neck is that long that it reaches under the arsh and throne of Allah. And whenever, Imam al-Baqir al-Islam says, whenever the middle of the night, nisful layl, muntasiful layl, nisf shab in Farsi, whenever nisf shab passes away, middle of the night passes away, he says, this angel of Allah says, Subbuhun Quddus, Rabbul Malaikati wa Ruh, Rabbun Ar-Rahman, La ilaha ghayruhu. So, Subbuh and Quddus are one of the names of Allah, one of the great names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the one who deserves to be glorified and held above and beyond the attributes of the creatures and all, above and beyond all what the people assign and associate as partners with Allah and held above and beyond all the condemned attributes and sifatul kabiha. And he's the one who has the holiness. So, and he's the Lord of all the angels, Rabbul Malaika, Warruh, and Lord of the angel who is called Ruh. Ruh is one special angel of Allah. Whenever he was created, since he was created and he was sent on this earth, this angel called Ruh never returned back to the heaven, and he's still living on the planet earth, and his job is to do the tasdeed, that means support of everyone who supports the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. So this is the Ruh. So he says Rabbul Malaikati wa Ruh, and Rabbuna Rahman, our Lord is Rahman, La ilaha ghayruhu, there is no God other than him. That's the zikr this angel performs after the middle of the night passes away. So that means you enter into the other middle of the night, the other half of the night. And then Imam al-Baqir Islam says, and then he says, لَيُقِمْ الْمُتَهَجِّدُونَ. That means those who, the people who pray the namaz al-shab, salatul layl, tahajjud, they should stand up. All those people who do the salatul layl should stand up. That's what the angel says. For a while it becomes sakit, silent, and until Allah wishes, and then the angel says Subuhun Quddus without saying Rabbul Malaikati wa Ruh. He did not say that here. Subuhun Quddus Rabbuna Rahmanu La ilaha ghayruhu. Missing the middle thing, Rabbul Malaikati wa Ruh. And then he says لَيُقِمْ الذَّاكِرُونَ. The one, those people who do the zikr and remembrance of Allah should stand up. And then Imam al-Baqir al-Islam says, when the morning time arrives, in other words, then the angel says Rabbuna Rahman. That means he doesn't even say Subuhun Quddus in the beginning. Just only he says Rabbuna Rahman La ilaha ghayruhu. Only this much. And then he says Layuqim al ghafilun. The ghafil and ignorant people should stand up. So that's the time where the ignorants stand up, when the morning arises. And Muhaddis Qummi rahmatullah alayhi, one of our great Muhaddithin, doing the tafsir of this hadith, he says that ihtimalan, when we find the pattern of the zikr of this angel, this special angel of Allah, the pattern of his zikr keeps on decreasing for all those three stages of the night. After the middle of the night, he has a long zikr which is so great in its meaning. Subuhun Quddus, you know. And then Rabbul Malaikati wa Ruh, Rabbuna Rahman La ilaha ghayruhu. Such a great zikr in its meanings. And then he further decreases the zikr for the second stage of the time, and that is for those who are the zakirin, who remember Allah, who are busy in the zikr. And then he further decreases the zikr to just that minimum which was Rabbuna Rahman La ilaha ghayru. So Muhaddis Qummi says that ihtimalan, we learn in the light of this that ihtimalan, the level of rahmat and inayat and care and lutf of Allah, that those people who perform the salatul layl, the night prayers, they enjoy is so high as compared to those people who don't perform the namaz al-shab, the salatul layl, but they do some dhikr of Allah, which is also a very great ibadah, to do the dhikr of Allah, but not as great as doing the namaz al-shab, salatul layl, after the middle of the night. death has a special status in Islam. And for those who wake up when the morning time arrives, they are the losers. They are the ones who are mahroom and deprived. And they are the ones who are also missing on sa'adat and also missing on the risk. So we find that before I end my speech, it's almost the time of to end. I will, as usual, mention just few hadiths from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, and as the barruk and barakat for our gathering. Imam alayhi salam had said in his hadith that man lam yaj'alillahu lahu min nafsihi wa'idhan fa inna mawa'idhan nas lan tughniya anhu shay'an. Somebody who doesn't have a wa'idh, an advisor, you know, we need a nasih, a wa'idh, somebody, we need our own, somebody who doesn't have a wa'idh from inside, the maw'idha and mawa'idh and advices of people are never going to suffice for him. So no matter what advices you may listen, if a person doesn't have the acceptability, accommodating nature and reception from the inside, and doesn't have a wa'iz, a nasih, his own zamir, his own conscience advising him from the inside, it's not going to benefit him. So we need to keep our zamir and conscience alive, so it keeps on advising up from us from inside. That's how the advices from the outside are going to benefit us. Also, he says that عَالَمٌ يُنْتَفَعُ بِعِلْمِهِ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ سَبْعِينَ أَلْفِ عَابِدٍ. If you are an alim, if you have a knowledge, and your knowledge, people benefit from it, then you are superior. A scholar whose knowledge people benefit is superior than 70,000 worshippers. And also, last of all, the hadith which I recited in the beginning of my speech. This is one of the greatest points that we learn from our Imam, although all the points are greatest equally. He says that salasatun min makarim al-dunya wal-akhirah. Three things are among the makarim, means the high level things that provide you karamat and dignity for the soul. In other words, then highest level moral attributes of dunya and akhirah. High moral attributes of dunya and akhirah. First, an ta'fuwa amman zalamaka. That means you forgive the person who did zulm upon you. If somebody did zulm on you, you forgive him. This is one of the high level makarim of dunya and akhirah. High level ethical and moral teachings. وَتَّصِلَ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ. And you keep in touch and you keep in tact with the one who breaks away from you. If you have people, if you have your relatives, if you have anybody who breaks away his relation from you, you don't do the same. You keep your relation with him. You keep in touch with him, let him do, but you don't. That means you don't be like him. If you do the same what the other person does, then basically, what is the difference between you and him? I'm not saying it's not part of the hadith, I'm explaining to you. So we don't break away from the person who breaks away from us. وَتَحْلُمَ إِذَا جُهِلَ عَلَيْكَ. And that means you have hilm, which has no translation in the English language, is one of the greatest values of Islam. In Farsi, we say it But again, one of my teachers had said that Hilm has no translation in Farsi. We call it Burdbari, but that's actually not the exact translation of this value. So this is the closest we say in Farsi, and also in Urdu we use the same word, Burdbari. That you have Hilm towards somebody is a Johila Alaik. That means if somebody misbehaves does something out of jahl and ignorance, you have hilm towards him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.